As we come together on this morning, thanking God for the many blessings that He has given us, for allowing us to awake on this morning, to have the activity of our limbs, and at certain stages to be in our right mind. It is so good that we do have individuals that are their brother's keeper. I know I had put it down somewhere, but I just couldn't remember where. And I can blame several people. No, the one sitting beside him, his sidekick. Today is a wonderful day. God has truly, again, been so good to each one of us. Amen. That we need to realize the importance of worshiping Him. Amen. And doing all the things that He has commanded us to do. We sometimes neglect, it slips our minds, we forget what Jesus went through on the cross of Calvary. We sometimes get into a place or be in a place where there's total chaos. And it may be in the privacy of our own homes that sometimes we're there and you hear all these different things happening around you, and you just can't think straight. You need silence. You need to just turn off everything in the house and just get in a place where you can have a peace of mind. Amen. Jesus didn't have that on the day He was crucified, that we see. May I put forth to you today that He did have a peace of mind. He had His moment with the Father. With all that was going on, the ridicule and the waving of hands, the fist, being spat upon, Jesus was still in His right mind. He was still able to have peace about Him. How many of us can do that? If someone is fussing at you, hollering at you, you know, punching you, smiting you, spitting on you, how many of us can just keep our cool? You ready to fight? You ready to give just as good as you're getting? But as the scripture was read in Luke 23:34, Jesus found time to talk to the Father. And a lot of times we think that our prayers need to be all so long, whereas they need to be so long. The words that Jesus spoke there, and many people take this out of context, and we're going to talk a little bit about that on this morning. Here He is being crucified. And He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Now, how many of you, how many of us have been in situations where we thought that our lives were going to end? and we stopped and prayed. How many of us? I've told you that I had several, actually, bad accidents where I've totaled out at least two automobiles. I'm the driver. And I never, at the point of impact, or even getting ready to impact, thought about praying. Amen. I didn't. Maybe you have. Glad you did. And I'm glad that my life did not end on that day. Amen. Because I may not have been doing what I should have been doing. But Jesus had done everything the Father wanted him to do on that day. And he did not ask the Father to forgive him. Why? Because he had done nothing wrong. But he asked the Father to forgive them. The individuals that were crucifying him, the individuals that was getting ready to cast lots for his garments. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of Man. They didn't believe that he was the Savior. So therefore, here they are crucifying him. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. We should be thankful. For the last phrases that Jesus spoke on the cross that day, we should be thankful. Many times we forget about that. We forget about him saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And when I say we, I'm talking about Christians. We forget about that. Now the non-Christian, they're not going to forget that. You want me to tell you why? Because they don't want to change. They say, Jesus went to the cross for me. Yes, he did. He went to the cross, not just for you, but he went to the cross for us. But they say, I do not have to do anything because he's already done it. Yes, you do. Yes, we do. There is something that we need to do. We need to seek this forgiveness that Jesus is asking the Father for them on that day. We need to seek forgiveness today. Amen. Why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. We need forgiveness. They needed forgiveness. And we have to think now, as he asked the Father to forgive them, what happened on the day of Pentecost? When Jesus preached that message, not just because of what the Father says here, but what Jesus says here, but what Jesus said after he had resurrected. You go and you make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them of the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you unto the end of the age. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. What did Jesus tell them? This is what you need to do. What did the people do that heard the gospel message that wanted to be obedient? They repented. Why? Because they needed to repent of the things in which they had done wrong. They were baptized. Why? In order to have their sins washed away. To be added to the church. See, there is something that we need to do. Listen to the gospel message and be obedient unto the calling so that we may be a part of the family of God. Jesus did what he was supposed to do. He prayed on our behalf, and we need to do what we are supposed to do in order to be pleasing to God. So it's a great statement that Jesus made on that day when he was on the cross. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. And then we find in that same chapter there in Luke chapter 23, and the verse is 43. Luke 23, 43. words of Jesus, as we think about him again being on the cross, he was on one cross, and on the left and the right of him were two more crosses. And on those crosses were two thieves. Two thieves now. Here Jesus is in between them. And here they are reviling against him, for he is supposed to be a king. He is supposed to be one that can save others. And here they are, these two criminals, the Bible says, in verse 32 of Luke 23. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, again, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, yet, or let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. Now, let's go back right there just for a moment and think about this. He saved others, let him save himself. What if he would have saved himself? We would be. We would be in bad shape. Man. It's a terrible what? It's a terrible situation. So we have to appreciate what Jesus did. He did not save himself. It wasn't about him. But was it? Without him, we could not have salvation. But his mind wasn't on, what can I do in order to save myself from going through what I'm going through, to listening to these people holler at me and tell me, save yourself. No. He was thinking about the creation, thinking about what God had done, what God had created, what he had created. That's who needed salvation. So he stayed there on the cross. The Bible says in verse 36, the soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was an inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews. They was mocking him. Because a king has authority. A king has power. A king tells and people do. But Jesus, yes, king of the Jews, but yet he did not save himself. He did not take advantage of his power. He did what the Father wanted him to do. Verse 38, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him saying, you are not the Christ. Save yourself and us. What kind of sense does that make? You tell me who I'm not, then you're going to tell me to save you? Oh, Jesus didn't give in to that. See, a lot of times we give in to people that are trying to call us out. Oh, you can't do that. I'll show you better than I can tell you. Jesus didn't fall for that because he knew what the Father wanted him to do. He was obedient to the cross. Here he is on the cross. Why turn back now? He prayed in the garden, Father, if it be thy will, allow this cup to be removed from me, but not my will be done, but your will be done. Why back now? Why turn around? There's a song that we used to sing way back in the day, and some still sing it today. I've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. I'm not turning back. I've come this far. Why turn back now? Have some individuals that are in school and they get to their senior year and they just give up. You've come this far, why not go further? Walk across that stage. Get that little piece of paper. Jesus, he did all what he did because the Father wanted him to do it. He did all that he did because of us, mankind. But here, this criminal, you are not the Christ. Or are you not the Christ? He's asking. Save yourself. Watch out now. Save yourself and us. Are you not the Christ? Don't question me, Jesus basically said, as he do nothing. But the other, I appreciate the other, and we should appreciate him too. You know, he was in the same boat in another book as the other, but he changed. He changed in midstream. He changed in hanging on the cross. He changed before it was too late. And he says, but the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, do you not fear God? See, fear is what allows us to do what is right, to reverence the God that we serve. Fear. Do you not fear God? You know, people say, I ain't afraid of them. Here come the law. So what? You know what those individuals are saying, the ones that say so what most of the time? They're doing what's right. They don't have no need to fear. And then there are some others that are running scared because they're doing what's wrong. But those that really fear the law are the ones that reverence the law and are willing to be obedient unto the law. It says in verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. See, there are some people that are locked up right now that are guilty as all get out. But they have befriended somebody that has done nothing wrong, and they will let no harm come to that individual. Think about it. You may not understand that because you have never been locked up before, but it's true. It is true. And here's the one that is rebuking the other and said, we're getting what we deserve because we are criminals. But this man has done nothing. And he says there in verse 42, and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. You know what that tells me about this thief right here? He had heard about Jesus. He knew what Jesus was supposed to go through. And he knew that the kingdom was coming. And he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus did one better for him. One better for him. And what did he say there in verse 43? Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That is so much better than Jesus remembering him when his kingdom would come. That this day, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't have to live with what we live with today. Now, we're part of the kingdom. We're in the church. And some of us are praying that, you know, Lord, take me and take me now, because this world is upside down. This world is a terrible place to be in. It's not time for us to go yet. Jesus could have very well told that thief, I will remember you in my kingdom. I'm going to save you. I'm going to allow you not to die on this day. And I'm going to allow you to continue to live. But again, Jesus did one better for him. And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, we're looking forward to being with him in paradise. Amen. The thief that was on the cross did not have to be baptized in the name of Jesus in order for Jesus to fulfill what he said he would do. And this was before the baptism of Jesus. This was before, you know, the church came into existence. So a lot of people say, what about the thief on the cross? You know, you're telling me, you're teaching me that I need to be baptized. What about the thief on the cross? And you know what my reply is 9 times out of 10? What about him? What about him? He did what he was supposed to do. He stood up for Jesus. And a lot of times we're not willing to stand up for anything. But Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Now I believe that we need to grasp that. And we need to ask ourselves, what exactly is paradise? What is paradise? Paradise is that place on the other side of torment, in the Hadean realm. See, Jesus was buried on that day just as the thieves were buried. And just like the rich man, one went to the grave and the other went to Abraham's bosom. That's where Jesus was. How long was Jesus in paradise? I don't know, but he was there that day. That day he was there. He stayed in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. But that day, that first day, he was in paradise. Along with the thief. And can you imagine the thief, you know, just praising and thanking Jesus for what he had done for him, knowing that he was a criminal, but Jesus saved him. We too can be saved today if we would only look at the Word of God and we will listen to what God has to say to us in reference to salvation. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And again, we continue to look at it. We continue to think about Jesus on the cross. Here, he's hearing these words from one thief and then listening to the words of another thief that were not directed to him, but about him. And he saves that individual. What is he going to do about us? How is he going to save us? I'm sorry if I'm boring you. It's just a little girl. She's safe. But if you truly this day, Jesus had a concern for the people. We go through so much in this life. And a lot of times we neglect to think about the next man. It's my problem. I'm the one with the problem. You need to direct all your attention to me because I'm the one going through some things. Jesus didn't feel that way when he was on the cross. He still had a concern for the woman that gave him birth. Still had a concern for her. And you know, what do we do? You find out you're dying. What do? I need to go out here and I need to live my life to the fullest. I need to do everything I have not done. I have time to do those things. No, you should be trying to get your life in order. Amen. Jesus, again, his life was in order. But what he cared about now was the welfare of his mother. And we find in John chapter 19, another phrase from Jesus when he was on the cross. Again, we find too, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Then we find, you will be with me today in paradise. And then we find where he needs to have his mother taken care of because his life is ending. The life that he has grown to love, the compassion that he has shown to others while walking this earth, and life is getting ready to end. But here he has thoughts for his mother, a concern for his mother. And Jesus says, as he's there in verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple in whom he loved, standing ready, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Now, he wasn't asking his mother to climb that cross and to hold on to him. He was telling his mother, here is John. Behold him. Stand by him. Lean on him. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. Behold your mother. Now he's giving one to the other. And what do you think they were thinking? Jesus, if you would only come down, we wouldn't have to worry about anybody else taking care of us. Jesus, if we could only spend more time with you, we would really be appreciative of that. That may be some of the thoughts that they were thinking, but they did not say anything. They listened to what he said. And there, John took Mary as his own, and Mary took John as her own. And it says, and from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. That hour. You know, they didn't stay back and they didn't say, you know, we're going to wait here all day long. We're going to see what they're going to do with Jesus. They didn't do that. They didn't have to see anything else. They had seen enough. And there, John took Mary into his own home. So we look at these three phrases that Jesus spoke on that day. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. How many of us need forgiving? Now, I want you to understand something. You may not know what you're doing, but you know you're doing it. And when somebody points out to you what you have done, what do you do to change that? What did they do on the day of Pentecost? When they were pricked in their hearts from hearing the gospel message. The same Jesus whom you crucified, God had made both Lord and Christ. The Bible said they were cut to their hearts. They were pricked in their hearts. And said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. Again, what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. What did he say? You know, teach them that they need to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. What was their sin? Crucifying Jesus. Yes, it was what God wanted, but it was still a sin. It wasn't right to take someone else's life. But Jesus' life had to be given in order that we may be able to live. And if you want to be with Jesus throughout all eternity, you want him now, you want him at death, you have to do what's right. You have to die in Christ to have him, that he may be with you in paradise. He's like God. He can be everywhere. He's Jesus. He's God in the flesh at one time. He died. He was risen from the dead to live throughout all eternity. The firstborn from the dead, our God, our Lord, our Savior. We need to think about these words. And then we need to think about him again, having compassion for his mother. With all that was going on again, he wasn't saying, I wonder how much longer I'm going to have to go through this. I wonder what else they're going to say to me. I wonder what else they're going to do to me. See, go back into Isaiah, the 52nd and the 53rd chapter, and look at what was going to happen to Jesus, and here is happening. He doesn't have to wonder about what else is going to happen to him. It's already, the ball is already moving. It's already in motion. The plan is in full effect. But he has a concern for the people. He has a concern for souls. He has a concern for the well-being of his mother. Many of us, again, we don't think about others. when we're going through trials and tribulations. We only think about self. How long am I going to be in this storm? Jesus knew that it was coming. He knew that he was going to have to go to the grave for 3 days and three nights. He knew that he wasn't going to be in there forever. And we'll talk a little bit about that on this evening. But I want you to know that heaven is a prepared place. He tells his disciples in John chapter 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms." He said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And we know Thomas again, oh doubting Thomas. "Lord, how do we know the way? How do we know? We've never been there. How do we know the way?" You know, a lot of times we can't get somewhere unless we have already been there before. And then a lot of times we still get lost. GPS. GPS will get you lost as well. But Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me," there in John chapter 14, verse 6. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. You want to get to the Father? You want to be where I'm going to be? It's through me. You do what's right, and you can get there. So we have to listen to his word again. And we need to know that we can be with him throughout all eternity. If we would only live faithful and die in faith, we can get there. But while we're here living, we need our spirit stirred in order that we may take care of one another. Some children need to take care of their mothers and their fathers. And some mothers need to take care of their children, their boys and their girls, those that have never grown up before. We need to take care of each other. That's what God expects us to do as being part of his family, to take care of one another. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You don't have to worry about what you're going to drink. You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. Because we take care of each other. You know, people say, you know, we take care of our own. You do what's right, you're going to be taken care of. You know, the world understands that. And a lot of times the church does not. But we need to understand it. To be pleasing in the sight of God. Realizing that we need to take care of one another. Maybe you're here today and you're not a child of God and you want to become one. That opportunity is yours. To come and to be immersed in the watery grave of baptism after making that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Rising to walk a newness of life. The choice is yours. Choose this day whom you will serve. So if you're here and you're subject, if you're an alien sinner, you've never come to Christ, come to him. If you're an erring saint, come back to him. If you're here and you're subject, we ask you to please come. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn.